Amen. Mark 9, we'll begin with verse 14. The Bible said, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Wow, what a story. What a story. I want to call your attention. This is what God dealt with me about in verse 22. That father said, after he described the situation on two occasions here, two separate sentences, he described the situation to Christ. And in verse 22, he made his petition. And this is how he said it. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. That just grabbed a hold of me. He said, if you can do anything. Did you get that same way I feel like I did? He didn't say, Lord, heal him. Lord, deliver him. Lord, give him everything you've got. He said, anything will do. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Praise God. I really felt like preaching this to somebody here in the service tonight. There's just a few of us, so he must be talking to us. Praise God. And I really felt like God burdened my heart to preach to us. Anything will help. Anything will help. Would you lift your hands and pray and ask the Holy Ghost to walk among us here tonight? Father, we love you. We honor you for your mercy. We thank you for grace. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your compassion. Walk among us here tonight, God. That work that pleases you, that work that brings you glory, that work that brings you honor. Oh, God, minister your life, your victory among us here. God, set a guard at my lips. I will only speak those things that edify the body of Christ, those things that minister grace to the hearer. Save the lost here tonight, God. Encourage the discouraged. Strengthen the weak. Send revival among us. Pull back the curtain of glory, Lord, and help us to get a glimpse of you. We'll give you all the praise for what's accomplished, all the glory for what's done. In Jesus' name. Church said amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them I'm going to help the preacher preach tonight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I felt like a few days ago God got to talking to me about this, and I have spent a whole lot more time digging and scratching and looking, but from time to time there are some special cases, what I call it, you know, when I'm just talking to myself, special cases when it seems like the Lord just deals with you about something and wants you to move right then. And I felt like that happened to me today, and so I'm just going to try to talk to you some things that God has shared with my heart about this particular portion of Scripture. What a terrible thing it must have been for this father to watch as the disciples had no authority, had no power, had no victory to deal with this thing that was living inside of his son. He made a journey, evidently. He said, I've brought my son to thy disciples, and there's nothing they could do. There was nothing they can do to help him. Amen. What a terrible feeling must have washed over him when the disciples prayed and cried out and talked and probably laid hands on the boy and nothing happened, amen, that couldn't do nothing, amen, to help that man or help his son. He came with his son looking for help. Amen. I thought about what a terrible condition that little boy was in. What it must have been like to be possessed of the devil, and that devil living inside of you was trying to kill you. At every turn, every time you turned around, he was throwing you to the ground, and you was flip-flopping on the ground, wallowing on the ground, foam coming out of your mouth. What a spectacle that child was in his community. What a spectacle he must have been among the family members. You know, when Christ asked that father, how long has this been going on? How long has this been happening? He said, of a child. And so I don't know if that, you know, I kind of imagine in my mind that it wasn't just a little boy anymore. It could have been a young man. This has been going on for a while. The father said, since he was a little boy, this has been happening. Of a child, this has been taking place. Oftentimes he's thrown him in the fire. Let me read to you what he said. He said, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Hallelujah. And again, the father described the situation to Jesus in verse 22. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Amen. I got to thinking about the spectacle that that little boy was. But then my mind went to that father. What desperation he was in when he came to those disciples. Amen. He was in a desperate place. Anybody ever heard the saying that desperate times call for desperate measures? Isn't that just what happened to the woman with the issue of blood? The Bible tells us that she spent all that she had on doctors and grew nothing better, but rather grew worse. I've heard fellows talk about her great faith. I'll tell you the kind of faith that woman had. She had a desperate faith. Hallelujah. She had done tried everything else and nothing else worked. Amen. Jesus was her last hope, but she saw him passing by and said, if I can but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Amen. Amen. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if everybody in this building tonight who was in a desperate place, everybody who was here that desperately needed God to work for them, everybody here who's felt desperation come into their life, would turn that desperation into getting to where God is, reaching out and touching, amen, Jesus Christ. Come on now, wouldn't it be good if we could turn our desperation around on the devil the way that this father did? Amen. He was desperate because of what the devil was doing to his child. Amen. I got to thinking about the anxiety that must have been in this daddy, you know, in that generation, in that time. There was no Christian psychologist, no Christian psychiatrist. Come on, say amen. There wasn't practicing psychiatry in that ancient Middle Eastern world that Jesus was walking through. Come on now. There wasn't a Valium to help you go to sleep and a amphetamine to help you wake up. Come on, say amen. There wasn't anything to level you out during the day when life's problems came up. Amen. You had to deal with them the best way that you could. And I got to thinking about the anxiety, the angst, if I can say it that way, in this Father. Amen. Listen, every time it came evening and it was time to build a fire and cook supper. Come on now. There's something would rise up, a fearfulness would rise up in that boy's daddy. Amen. That boy's father, no doubt, had scars on his own hands, scars up his own arms, where he's reached into the fire and pulled that boy out in an effort to try to save him. Come on now. Every time, can you imagine the fear that must arose up in him on the journey to try to get to where Jesus was? Every time they passed a river, every time they passed a lake. Come on now. Because he's seen in the days gone by, there's been some times when he just barely got to that boy on time. They're both scarred up from the fire. Come on. He's scarred up in his mind where his baby's almost drowned time after time after time. But thank God he knowed where to go. He purposed in his heart, I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to get over where him and those disciples are. I'm going to go to where it is. I can get some help. Come on and help me, somebody. Isn't that what life is about? Positioning yourself in a place, amen, where you can live life to your fullest potential. Isn't that what it's about? Amen. When we have a need, bringing it to Christ, laying it at the feet of the Master, and saying, here I am, this is me, and this is what I need. Praise God. That man, he became very personal to me. When I got to thinking about all of that must have been running through him. Now I know, listen, we're wholeness people. And I've seen folks beat their chest like a big gorilla and poke their chin out and pretend like they're not fazed by anything. They pretend like they've had victory from the time they made their first whimper in their mama's arms. They're born with victory. They've always had victory. They never struggle. Come on now. But I'll tell you, we're in the human family. Can you say amen? And the human family has problems. We struggle. As a matter of fact, our Master taught us it was going to be that way. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But thank God he didn't leave us there. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Listen, the apostle talked about the same afflictions being accomplished in our brethren which are in the world. Because we're Christians, because we're believers, that does not exempt us from trial. It does not exempt us from sickness. It does not exempt us from being tried and tested and put through the fire. As a matter of fact, Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Come on and help me, somebody. I'm telling you, amen, if you get to heaven, you're going to fight your way every step of the way there. Amen. Listen, the songwriter said, shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Come on now. Amen. This is a battlefield. We're in a war zone. Amen. And we're going to have to press our way into the kingdom. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Yes, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a struggle. That's what this father was facing. All of this going on in the life of the boy that he loved. He loved that boy. I'm telling you, He loved him enough to try to get him to Jesus where he could get help. All the fear, all the anxiety, the scars on his body, not only physical scars, but the scars in his mind. Oh God, I just seemed like I couldn't shake loose from that. When I was talking to the Lord today, I felt like I couldn't shake loose from that. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got a situation going on in your life. Maybe you're here and there's some emotional scars. There's some mental scars. Come on now. Did you know there's nothing but a scarred up bunch gonna make it to heaven anyway? Amen. I remember Thomas telling his brethren in that upper chamber, I'm not going to believe you, boys. You tell me he's arose, but I'm not going to believe it unless I see him for myself. I got to put this finger in the nail print in his hand. I've got to thrust my hand into his side. I was there. I saw the soldier pierce his side, that gaping wound with that spear. Come on now. You tell me he's alive. That's all right for you to say, but I've got to see it for myself. Come on, say amen to me. Oh, Jesus showed up. Amen. In the mist, he appeared before Thomas. And you remember what he said to Thomas? He said, behold my hands and my feet. Come on here. Behold my side. Are you going to help me right here? Look at the scars, Thomas. When John the Revelator saw Jesus in the book of the Revelation, amen, there was a throne of God. God sitting on a throne, a book in his right hand. No one worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And Revelation chapter 5 said that the elder, an elder, come to John and said, weep not, John, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. Come on now. Amen. John said, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the midst of the candlestick, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. He recognized that man. That was Jesus. And he still bore in his body the marks of a crucifixion. Hallelujah. Scarred up people. Praise God. That man and his boy carried some scars. You know what? I've got some myself. I've got some myself. Now, I don't want you to back up on me right here. I don't want you to think I'm backing up. I don't want to come across like I'm going to talk to you about a weak gospel. Jesus has the power to keep us. He's able to keep us from falling. Yes, he is. Now, I appreciate that. But I'll tell you something. None of us are exempt from falling. None of us are exempt from struggling and stumbling and going back. Come on, say amen. You're not a robot. You're not just blindly following him because you have to. You got to make a conscious choice. You got to make a decision to live for him every day. You got to decide. You got to choose. Sometimes moment by moment when temptation is bombarding your life. Come on, say amen. You got a purpose in your heart. And sometimes I'm telling you, as human beings, even as Christians, we struggle. Come on now. Sometimes we got to make ourselves pray. Sometimes we got to force a fast. Sometimes we got to make ourselves read the Bible. You going to help me right here? Sometimes we got to just put one foot in front of the other and go to the house of God because we know it's the right thing to do. Are you going to help me right here? We all struggle. Come on, say amen. Oh God, I thought about this man and those scars and the struggles that he had been through. But he knew in his heart, if I can get to where Jesus is, this can be turned around. This can be fixed. Amen. This can be remedied. Praise God. Oh, but listen, when he finally got the attention of the Lord, he didn't ask for heaven to come down. He didn't ask for a new son. He said, anything you got that'll help us, I'll be okay. Come on now. Just anything you're willing to give. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Praise God. I was thinking about this, praying about this. It's been on my mind. I thought there'd probably be somebody here tonight. Probably more than one or two. That you're at the place where anything God can spare you. Anything the Lord can send down to you is going to be a blessing. Come on now. Well, I've come to this conclusion. Scars in my life. I got scars in my mind. I've got scars in my physical body. Come on now. The wages of sin, from living in sin. Come on now. I know the Lord's forgot all about them places I went, them things I said, those things I participated in. They're cast as far away from me as the east is from the west. But I can't forget. Come on now. And the devil, he never gonna forget. Listen, my sin has been cast into the depths of the sea. It's what the prophet Micah said. But I see trying to snag something and pull it back up and put it in my face. There's some scars here, but you know what? I've come to this conclusion. Scars do not dictate to me where I'm going. They just tell the story about where I've been. Come on and help me, somebody. Praise God. We're all scarred up, ain't we? Every one of us have some scars, don't we? Praise God. But if we can get to Jesus, He has the authority and He has the power, amen, to deal with that thing that's troubling us. This little boy, now, God help me right here. This little boy, if I read this right, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. No peace for him. There's no joy in this young man's life. And his lack of peace and his lack of joy has affected his father, because dad loves him. Dad hates to see him in this condition. And his circumstance, or the devil driving this young man. Now listen. This is something that would just rise upon him ever so often. He wasn't walking around foaming all the time, looking crazy like a rabid dog. This would just come upon him. Now things would be going normal. They'd be at the family reunion and everything going good, and all of a sudden the devil throws that boy on the ground and he gets to kicking and jerking, gritting his teeth. Sometimes his daddy would get to missing him, and he'd get to looking for him. He'd be sitting out back of the house in the yard, pining away, just staring off into space with a blank look on his countenance. Come on now. As if he was a million miles away. Come on here. And that affected that father. That scarred that father's life. Amen. Praise God. We've all got them, don't we? Every one of us. We've all got scars, don't we? Amen. I've got scars you'll never see. I guarantee you that. Come on now. I've got some that's deep. Listen. You know what the wonderful thing about scars is? It's no longer a wound. It used to be a wound. Praise God. But a scar is a wound that's healed over. It's not open. It's not fresh anymore. Praise God. But it's healed over. Amen. Praise God. Listen, I was reading not too long ago, just in the past several weeks, and I come across a story. I can't even remember the book I read it out of. But I come across a story of a man who went somewhere in a northern state in the fall. He found himself at an apple orchard. He'd been hearing about the apples at this particular orchard, how sweet they was, and how good this farmer could grow these apples in that orchard. And so he took his family, took a trip up there. And when he got to that orchard, I'm telling you, there was so much fruit hanging on them apple trees that the old farmer had the limbs propped up where the fruit wouldn't break the limbs. And it was just like everybody said, amen, that fruit was the sweetest, best tasting, crispiest apple that fella had ever put in his mouth. But them was some of the ugliest, old, gnarled up looking trees he had ever laid eyes on, amen. And that man found the farmer, and he began to ask him some of the tricks of the trade, you know. And I believe he went back some generation or two, and he began to tell the story of them apple trees when they was planted, and how after the first few years of harvest, it didn't seem to be doing what his grandpa or his daddy wanted them to do, and they got some advice from another apple farmer, that old apple farmer, you know, that had an orchard for many years, told them what you need to do is scar them trees. You need to get your axe or your hatchet or your saw, and you need to just hack on them trees and scar them all up, and that'll put that tree in a distress, amen, and it'll begin to produce fruit. It'll get sweet, amen. It'll work overtime. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, he said that's what they done. They scarred these trees. I'll tell you something, folks, the calamity you've been through, the struggle you've been through, it does not have to define the rest of your life for the negative. Come on, Hosanna Bahia. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can use it for the positive. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some scars. We look a little gnarly, but it's producing sweet fruit. I said it's producing sweet fruit in our lives. Hallelujah. Somebody lift both your hands and praise the Lord if you're not ashamed of Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not going to preach much longer. Amen. It's been kind of scattered. I'm just trying to share with you what God laid on my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I'm glad. I'm glad now. I've been trying to guard myself. Listen, preachers get judged a lot. I want to be real careful, but I want to be transparent. I'd like to tell you, you know, in them 27 years, he wanted us just to shout out how many years we've been saved or how long it's been since we got saved. I'll just tell you now, maybe he won't want to close this out and send me back to North Carolina. But in them 27 years, looking back, there were snapshots in time where I honestly believe. Now, most of that I've been preaching 25 of those 27 years. And I've been preaching full time for 23 of those 27 years. But there are snapshots in time when I look back, standing here, looking back, chances are there were some things that would have kept me out of heaven if the Lord would have come. I ain't asking you to shout with me. I'm not asking you to. There's no excuse for that. Christ gave me every opportunity to live in victory. Life more abundantly. That's what He came for me to have. So there's no fault in the Bible, no fault from heaven. It's all my fault. If I miss it, it'll be me. Come on, say amen. I'm not proud of some of those snapshots in time that I've talked about. When I probably wasn't altogether ready to stand before God and be judged of Him. But I am so thankful for His mercy and His grace and His long suffering and His compassion. Come on, say amen. Oh, listen, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's His grace that's brought me this far. It's His mercy that's been extended to me that's brought me this far. He said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And boy, He has, hadn't He? Has He had compassion on anybody but me? Has He ever had compassion on you? Come on, say amen. And it's those times when He's shown us compassion that it's molded us and shaped our lives. Those times of terrible failures, those times of doubt, those times when our mind has been plagued with unbelief. Brother Roy Ivey is my friend. He pastors a church in South Carolina, and Brother Roy Ivey said to me said it to the whole church many months ago now, maybe a year or two ago. I was there preaching revival. He said, church, I'm ashamed to even tell you this, but I want to tell you to help somebody. He said, for months the devil's been telling me this ain't real. Ain't none of this real. It's just what you've been taught. There's no heaven. He said, on a daily, that devil just bombarded my mind that this is just a club. This is just a group of people that come together and rally around a book. Hey, this is nonsense. Ain't none of this real. He said, I've been fasting. I've been praying, trying to get that devil off my back. He's been bombarding my mind. He said in the prayer closet the other day, the Lord opened the windows of heaven and I got enough enlightenment, enough unction, amen, to point that devil out of my prayer closet. He said, I shouted, devil, if it ain't real, then why in the world are you trying so hard to convince me of it? Hallelujah. If it don't matter anyway, then why are you spending so much time trying to divert me from it? Are you going to help me? It's real. Heaven's real. Help's real. Healing's real. Victory's real. Hallelujah. Wave your hand and praise the Lord here, will you? Yes, it is real. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I preached this scripture many years ago, and I talked about the devil's last throw. Jesus spoke to that spirit, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Verse 26 said, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that they said, that's the crowd standing around, that's the gawkers looking on. Insomuch that they said, he's dead. That devil tore him, threw him down on the ground, and looked like it killed him. But that would be the last time in the history of that boy's life that devil would ever throw him to the ground. From then on, he would grow on up into manhood. Probably got him a wife. Amen. I don't know. I'm just reading between the lines. Maybe had a few children of his own. Come on, say amen. But from that time, he could go down to the lake and spread his nets. Come on, say amen. He could build him up a fire to cook by and to warm himself in the evening. And there was no danger whatsoever. Amen. Of that devil taking control of him. Amen. This was the devil's last time, the devil's last throw against that boy. Hallelujah. Verse 27 said, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I'm preaching, anything will help. Anything you can send us, Lord. I want to read you Psalms chapter 3 and verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I felt like I could feel it. I could see it in the spirit today. I felt like I seen you walking around in shame and all them scars. Oh, God. I was at a Church of God preaching revival few weeks ago, and there's a young man there that was at the church. He new convert, hadn't been saved just a few months, and the pastor told a story in the pulpit one night. He said that some of the men was out working around the church, and they don't all wear long sleeves. But here's a new convert. Here's the boy's just been saved. Just a few months. He shows up to work through the heat of the day with long sleeves on. And one of them men questioned him. Said, "What? Ain't you hot? What? Why you got them sleeves on?" And the pastor was bragging on him. Pastor said that young man's reply was, "Well, brothers, when I was in sin, I have a lot of scars from sin. I had a lot of writing and drawing and things put on me. And some of it says things I'm ashamed of, and I don't want anybody to see it." Said, "I'm not advertising for that team anymore. Just got it covered up. Praise God." Huh? Now, our scars here tonight, most of our scars are probably not tattoos. But we've got some very real scars. We've tried to cover them up. We've walked around with our head down because of what's went on the inside of us. Did you hear Psalms 3:3? "Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." He'll lift it up tonight. You don't have to walk around second class. You don't have to go through life wondering when it's going to happen again. Job 22:29, the Bible said, "When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person." Praise God. There's lifting up for you in this service tonight. Jesus went to that lifeless body. It looked like he was dead, but he reached down and he lifted him up. Praise God. I could almost hear him gasp when it happened. All them onlookers. "Did you see that?" And they watched him for the next weeks, the next months. They watched him, and he never wallowed on the ground again. Never jumped in the fire again. Never waded out in the lake to kill himself again. Come on now. Pray. There is lifting up. There is lifting up. Would you stand with me all over this place? I really felt like the Lord dealt with me about this. That this is not about, Lord, just do it. Give me all of it. I really think you're here tonight. I really do. I believe you're here. And it's not about if I can't get it this way, then I don't want it. I really don't believe it's that way for you. I believe you're feeling like you're at the place in your walk with him. You've struggled and you've been vexed and you've been tormented, and now you're at the place where you're willing to say, and you've probably already been saying it, "Lord, anything you can give me, any little touch, any little move, any little victory, I'm going to cherish it. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us."